Thanks for listening to Wichita's all-new 99.7 Light FM. I'm Gayla Krause, and you're listening to our very first community affairs show, and we have two ladies from the Wichita Children's Home with me that we've been visiting with, Janet Pack and Mel Garrett. Again, thank you for being here and sharing some of the inside scoop about the Wichita Children's Home. So much happens there, and a lot of people kind of think it's some mystery place, and they don't really understand what a good neighbor you are to our community. We really would have such an open sore if we didn't have a place for children to go in an emergency situation.
One of the most important things is that it is a 24/7 facility, so we have to run the same kind of shop at 2 p.m. as we do at 2 a.m. Be ready. You never know when you pull up to your work how many police cars, how many sheriff's officer cars there are, and kind of give you an idea of what the day may bring.
So about how many kids are at the home in a given day? Any idea?
Through all of our services, probably in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 children are being housed in one of the Wichita Children's Home programs.
Wow, that's phenomenal. Now, do you still work with the parents to hopefully reunite families? Is that the goal?
Absolutely. Depending on the flexibility we have because of the kind of placement, our staff is highly trained and adept at working with parents, helping them understand what we're doing that may be helping their child have some success in areas that they've struggled with in the past. And we also have specific programs that work with reunifying families, preventing foster care situations before it happens, intervening early on. And those programs are specifically designed to work closely with parents and community members who support those families in making a successful reunification for that family.
So parents who have not been taught the skills as to how to be good parents, maybe because they weren't taught by an example of, you know, the child's grandparents, do you have programs in place to help train them with life skills?
We do have, again, some of our programs that are designed to work with the families, connect them with community resources, provide therapy, case management, connecting with additional resources in the community. So definitely there's the opportunity for supporting them in having a successful go at parenting.
And if that is not possible, then you turn to hopefully placing them in a foster home. Is that right?
DCF, formerly SRS, is the agency that ultimately makes the decision about where these children and youth get to go when they leave our doors. In the best case scenario, we all agree that we'd love to see children go home. We'd love to see reunified, happy, healthy families. I always say the day I work myself out of a job and I show up and they say, you know what, kids and families don't need you anymore, that would be the best day in my life. I would go open a flower shop or something. but unfortunately, that hasn't been true. I've been working in the field for 18 years, and certainly the need continues to grow. The depth and breadth of need in our community continues to grow. And Wichita is a very unique community. We have a large enough population to face some real urban problems. And we are especially lucky to have the Wichita Children's Home, because when I travel around the country, sometimes I attend or speak at workshops dealing with children, trauma, runaways. It's very rare, if ever, I see another organization in a community of any size that has the depth and breadth of services that the Wichita Children's Home provides. It's a continuum of services. We get babies, newborn from the hospital that were born drug addicted. We get 3-month-olds with third-degree burns and broken arms. We get 5-year-olds that were found in, you know, wandering the street in their pajamas. We get the 12-year-olds that ran away. We get the 19 or 20-year-olds that are sleeping in their car with their two children. So mm-hmm. really from birth to 22. And 22 might sound kind of old to consider someone a youth, but when you've not been given the tools, again, to transition successfully into adulthood, mm-hmm. you don't know how to get a job, keep a job, you haven't completed your education, you can imagine you still need those supportive services.
You do have a lot of success stories, I know, people that have been in the home, gone on in it, and led productive lives with their families. Do you ever hear back from people who have been former residents of the home?
Absolutely, and I always laugh because it's often the youths that were the most challenging, most resistant, most oppositional kids, but our staff never stopped believing in them, stuck with them, held their feet to the fire as far as rules and expectations. And it's very often those youth that come back and say, I made it.
Mm-hmm.
They are looking for that affirmation. And they're also coming back to affirm that what we do makes a difference. And, you know, what we do often is seed planting. And most of the time, we don't get to see those seeds grow. And so, I know that. We know that.
So it's fun when they get to be back in contact with you and you get to see them in full bloom of their life.
Absolutely.
Very rewarding.
Kids that come back, well, they're not kids anymore, young
right.
people, who are now married, are finishing college, are moving on to having a stable, healthy life that they had never had a vision for before. They came in and received services from the children's
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm. I actually had a car mechanic one time who was a resident of the children's home. And just in conversation, he found out I knew about the home, and I have actually served on the advisory council. And he was like, oh, that's a great place. I lived there for a while when I was a kid. And I'm like, really? So when you meet people in your adult life, you don't always understand that they've had hard times in their past and overcome them and gone on down the road. So that's wonderful. Well, I commend everybody who works at the home, because whether you're an intake person, whether you have hands-on with the children, still, like you said, Janet, just you never know when you come to work what kind of challenges have either gone on before you get there or are going on right now. And you have to be ready to respond in whatever way is appropriate, no matter what the time of day is. It's incredible. Now, let's talk about foster care a little bit. If someone is listening this morning and they think, you know, I've got extra rooms and enough room in my heart, how do people find out about getting involved as a foster parent?
Well, we would love to have anybody who has room in their heart and in their home for the children that we serve in our community to contact us at the Wichita Children's Home and express their interest. It's not a difficult process. It's not a painful process to become a foster parent. It takes a couple months. And to listen to the stories of the foster parents we currently have, you understand why someone would be drawn to serving our youth in that way. We have one family who themselves already have, do they have four or five girls? They have five.
Five.
And they've opened up their home to over 100 children in their first year of service, I believe.
Wow.
It's about in 1 year of service. And in their hearts, each one of those kids is one of theirs now.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they talk about watching those children bloom, you know, coming, the kids who are used to being the parent to their little brothers and sisters come and they get to be kids for the first time. The young children who are scared of male figures really warming up to the dad in that home and, you know, sitting on his lap to read a book at night and being excited when he gets home from work. So it's an incredible place to serve children, and it can be on a very kind of short-term basis. In our emergency mm-hmm. foster homes, it's for 72 business hours that you get to have a child or children in your home and serve them in that way.
So if you're listening in your car right now, I know you can't write down a phone number, but just Google Wichita Children's Home, and your website will come up, and they can find out more about it there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have a great website. It's wch.org. And any kind of information you want, whether you're a youth in trouble, you need some advice, if you want to donate, if you want to volunteer, become a foster parent, our website has all the answers for you there.
Very good. And you always have a wish list going, because whether it's office equipment or pajamas for the kids, you have a supply, basically a big closet that you like to keep stocked, because kids come in and they have nothing.
Yes, and we have to have seasonal, so storage is always a premium for us, but we have to have the clothes from birth to 22, and we have to have diapers and formula, and so yes, we have a wish list on our website as well.
Okay.
And we keep that updated. Sometimes there are more immediate needs, and we try to put that right on the front page of the website. So if anyone's interested, their business or their family, please visit our website and give us a call.
Now let's talk about something that's a little bit uncomfortable, and that's trafficking. I had little to no knowledge of that until in the last year, probably, and maybe someone listening this morning is like, you know, is she talking about traffic lights? And no, it's about kids. So let's talk about that, Mel.
Well, as I said earlier, I've been working with children and families for 18 years, and throughout the course of my career, I've always worked with young people who were involved in trafficking. That's not what we used to call it. What we used to call it is, we call it the P word because it's a word we don't use. But for those of you who are not familiar with what trafficking refers to, in the old days we called it prostitution. And what we've come to really realize as service professionals is these are not young people who are being bad. These are young people who are being abused and taken advantage of. The average age of entry into trafficking is right around 12 to 13 years of age. And if you can think about what decisions you were making at that age, or your own children that you raised when they were that age, you know that young people are not really capable of understanding that kind of behavior and lifestyle. And the traffickers that get them into this lifestyle are so adept, are so skillful at knowing how to push their buttons. If they need a daddy figure, they're daddy. If they want love, then they're their boyfriend. It's a very amazing process that they go through, and it's actually not even that difficult. Most of these young people already have a background in abuse that unfortunately kind of primed them to be treated in this manner. So we've always served children who've been trafficked at the Wichita Children's Home. We didn't always maybe recognize it in the way that we recognize it today, mm-hmm. But certainly now we're aware of that and have trained staff that are able to respond to them. We have a grant, a federal grant, through the Office of Violence Against Women, and part of the therapists and advocates that are funded by that program are specifically put in place to respond to residents who have a background in trafficking. I myself have been involved with the Anti-Sexual Exploitation Roundtable for Community Action, or ACIRCA for short, that Dr. Karen Countryman Roseworm founded. I'm currently the facilitator for that, and that's a group of professionals and organizations that get together on a monthly basis to discuss the trends of what we're seeing, how to best respond, to advocate for this population in our community. It's not an easy problem to address, because it's very, very integrated into our community and in our society, and it is something we definitely see on a regular basis at the Wichita Children's Home.
And most of these kids are not choosing to do this, you know, necessarily. It's not their choice. They're just trying to survive, and they see a kind of a window of opportunity for someone to maybe care for them and give them a means to continue living.
Absolutely. Of course, there can be any young person could be drawn mm-hmm. into this. There are children from stable kind of upper class homes that, you know, are drawn into this. But in general, you're going to see the profile of a young person who doesn't have very many means. You're going to see the profile of a child who almost exclusively has been abused, generally sexually abused. And I've had young women tell me, well, this has happened to me my whole life. At least now I get to make some choices around it.
Mm-hmm.
So in a very sad way, in a way that wouldn't be recognized as healthy, it's their first stab at some empowerment.
Yes.
And having some control in their life. So again, if you just think about developmentally where a child is at 13, they're developing their identity. You know, one week they're goth, one week they're preppy, one week, you know, they're
they
country
know.
Western. They're trying on all their identities, so it's a prime time for traffickers to target them mm-hmm. For being lured into this world. And once they're in that, it's very difficult to leave.
And the director of EDIT. So do you have enough volunteers at the Wichita Children's Home?
No, we can always use more volunteers. And once again, I would direct people to the website at wch.org, and you can apply right online to be a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a painless process. You get to work with the children, many of which are teens, and we encourage people to reach out to us and see if it would be a good fit.
I think that's a great idea, and it's very rewarding as well. I love being in the home because terrible things, you see terrible things. But it's very warm there and very nurturing, and the dining room is my favorite place. There's just something about that communal room that you see those kids and how innocent they are, and they just really need our help. So, ladies, thank you so much for being here this morning. Mel Garrett, Janet Pack from the Wichita Children's Home, and you've been listening to our very first community affairs show right here on Wichita's all-new 99.7 Light FM.